Welcome back, everybody, to the Pair of Kings podcast.
Anita McSween.
I'm your host, Saul Thompson. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. I'm joined this week by my wonderful co-host.
I am
Anita McSween.
And you can find me on Instagram at
Anita McSween.
And we put
Anita McSween
on the soundboard.
We've got an updated soundboard. Welcome back. It's episode 3 of a new season. If you're enjoying the podcast, you can head over to herohero.co/POK. Subscribers get an extra episode every month, as well as early access to episodes and full videos of the podcast.
We're still working on what the bonus episode of the first bonus episode will be.
Correct.
But by the time you hear this, we will probably know.
Correct.
And you won't unless you sign up for Hero Hero.
Correct. So go to herohero.co/POK to subscribe. It's only $4. It will be raised later, but you will be grandfathered in. It will not raise if you subscribe now. Thank you so much to all of our subscribers. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. I had a job interview today. I don't know how well it went. I definitely wore the coolest suit out of all of the applicants.
Which, you know, you think would be the right thing to do, but maybe isn't always the right thing to do.
So I have a suit from J Press that I was like, maybe I should wear that. But the guy who went in after me was wearing like stock standard blue suit, light blue button up.
Yeah, you did the right thing.
I did. You know, I'm untucked now.
Run me through the fit check.
So big thanks to the team over at Anushka because they sent a full suit over to me, which is really sweet. Should I shout out the PR guy? I don't know quite how it goes usually.
Yeah, talk
okay,
shit.
So I really like, I can also tell this story. So I got this PR package back in, geez, it must have been late September or early October is when it finally touched down. And
sorry, wrong button.
Anita McSween.
So very nice guy who does PR for Nanushka. I'm gonna spell out his Instagram username. It's UMUTOZTURNA. I'm not gonna butcher that, so it's just spelled out there. But I reached out to him when he followed me. I was like, I really like the stuff that you guys make. Would you be able to send some stuff out? He was very nice about it. He did.
Damn, you can just ask.
And so at the time I was together with my ex. And asked her, I was like, do you want anything? She was like, sure. So half of the stuff was stuff for her. And I got the package and I dropped it off. And I think a week later, she broke up with me. And I was like, damn, like, you played the long game. You got the, he got the free Nanushka and then dipped.
And
there were nice things too. Like, if we had broken up before that, my mom opened the PR package because she's like, why is this big box here at my apartment? And she texts me and is like, I want to keep all of this stuff. And I was like, fuck. I mean, the considerate thing to do would have been obviously return all of the PR stuff to me and let me wear it. I'm a women's extra small. I could have fit that. Anyway.
It
was really, you probably could have. Yeah. It was, again, women's stuff was awesome. Men's stuff is great. Very, very thankful that they sent all this over. But they sent me the full suit that I'm wearing today. It's a houndstooth. Black and gray, sort of heavyweight wool suit. It's also lined and it's extremely comfortable. I'm wearing a Uniqlo basic white button-down shirt that's caught. I haven't washed it in the past 3 wears and it's really starting to like show signs.
Oh, yeah.
It's got like blood on the cuffs.
Nice.
It's like, but it's not like, ooh, he's dangerous. It's like dried, nasty blood. The collar is like stained with sweat. I mean, like it's disgusting. I gotta go get it washed. I'm wearing an Hermes sweater, a tie. I think it's Vineyard Vines or something. Brooks right. Brothers, maybe from Baltistrol. It's a golf course. I think it's in New Jersey that I would play when I was younger. And I'm also wearing the blazer and then I'm wearing some socks. I think they're called Go Hemp socks, but they're great. I got them in,
ain't that guy from Dragon Ball Z?
Shut up. It's Gotenks or Gohan. But yeah, no, I mean, they're great socks. Where did I get them? I got them at a store in Stockholm, maybe. But those are great as well. And then I was wearing my Woolrich like cowboy jacket. I'm starting to get warm as well. Maybe I'll take the suit jacket off.
It's a little toasty.
Michael, why don't you run us through your fit?
Yeah, well, so I had like jeans and a t-shirt on, but I refused to let Saul show me up in my own home. Fucking can't have that. So the second he walked in the door and I saw that it was suit day, I am wearing a Tom Brown suit, herringbone, like a light gray herringbone.
Should we enforce a dress code on the podcast? Like tell our hosts or tell our guests like formal wear only and then show up in jeans and t-shirts.
Bailey.
That's it. Yeah. Okay.
Our next guest, I think we're going to...
Surprise.
Ha ha. Yeah, I'm wearing a light gray herringbone Tom Brown suit. I need to get it tailored a little bit because it doesn't fit fucked up enough. Got it off the Real. Need to like shorten the cuffs a little bit and just tighten up the jacket. But that's expensive and you can't tell when I'm sitting on a couch. Tom Brown button up shirt. It's got little like, it's got the stripes on the arms. It's really cool. And then a Tom Brown tie. And a random tie clip that I got from eBay, a little sterling silver one.
Damn. What's on the foot today?
Crocs. Nice. I'm wearing Crocs and Uniqlo Heat Tech socks. Just the perfect combo for a Tom Brown suit.
Just a reminder: if you are listening to the podcast on your favorite streaming platform, don't forget to follow the podcast and also leave us a review. It really helps. And if you're not already watching and would like to, go over to youtube.com, look up Pair of Kings podcast, where full episodes of the podcast will be releasing at the same time as the audio podcast.
Don't forget to
like, comment, and subscribe. Huge thanks to Yannick, who is our video editor. He is amazing, and we love him very much.
Yannick, can I get a picture of Tom Brown up right here?
Yo, can we get a picture of Yannick?
Yeah, actually, that's true. Yo. That's even better.
Yannick, throw some... Oh, we're kind of like in frame. Throw it over us. Fuck it.
Throw a fit pic.
Yo.
Throw your latest fit pic up. Let us see.
Pair of Yannick cast right now. Yo. Yannick's great, though. He dresses so well.
Yannick put that shit on.
He was like... for his... he's in fashion school, I believe, but he was building like a top out of coins and was just like hammering holes in coins. So anytime you talk to him last year, he's like, yeah, I got pennies due.
I got pennies to hammer. Can't talk right now. I'm hammering pennies.
Oh, my God. Michael's engaging with his cat.
Sorry.
So a couple of things I want to talk about on the podcast this week.
Suits.
That have been on my mind. Suits. I'd love to talk about suits.
Welcome to...
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the Pair of Kings podcast.
Well, you're actually British. I'll throw on like a fucked fake South African. Hey guys, from South Africa.
You sound like if a South African grew up in Wisconsin.
Okay, I'll take it. Yeah. You have to try hard, guys. It's nothing without effort. Anyway, suiting, male suiting. I'd really like to see a return of the casual suit. Not to be on my trad menswear
like,
shit.
As in like casually wearing a suit or as in like a casual take on a suit?
So both, and I'll break it down. I think in terms of response that you get, you show up to an event or you show up to hang out with friends and you're in a suit, people are like, first of all, if they don't know you, who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. Get him out of here. Second of all, they're like, did you just come from work? Whatever. Maybe I just like wearing a suit. Maybe it's comfortable. Maybe it's a 3-button. Maybe it's not a 2-button. Maybe it's not a formal cut. Go fuck yourself. Anyway, I think...
Damn, you're really on the defensive right away.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You wouldn't believe, dude. I get so defensive. I'm so vitriolic and hateful and defensive all the time.
Nice.
No, but I would really love the... I would just say the perception of a suit when you show up wearing a suit to change a little bit. And I wish it wasn't something that was so, I won't say divisive, but so charged with certain expectations. But I guess that is going back to clothing as a whole, how clothing is perceived. If you show up in a t-shirt and jeans, that has a certain connotation today. If you show up in a soccer jersey and jorts, that has a certain connotation, and suits have certain connotations. But I'd love to reclaim it. I'm not like a one-man army in that respect. I don't think I can just point and be like, yo, suits mean this now, and everybody's going to listen to it. However, I'd love to see the tide on casual suiting change.
The tide. I do...
Roll tide, baby.
Roll tide, baby. I like going to the office in suits every second month.
Okay.
Like,
for an extended
month,
period of
like,
time or just...
No, just
okay.
Like, you know, because I dress weird at the office. I'm in all the bullshit, and then every now and then I like to just show up in a suit.
Sure.
And like the full...
Yeah.
Just to let them know.
Yeah.
Keep them guessing.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not new to this. I'm true to this.
Yeah. I've been about it. I don't know. I kind of get the, like, if you show up in a formal suit, the assumption is that you've done something like that requires a formal suit before this.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain, again, like,
this is the first time you showed up at my house in a suit, and it's because you had a job interview.
That's true.
You are not doing your part.
It's true. No, New Year. Oh, we didn't hang out on New Year's.
Because you hate me.
You were out of town, weren't you?
Whatever.
I wore everything but the blazer. So I had this like exact outfit on, just no blazer, because it was really hot in the place
but
that I was
the blazer.
Going. What was I going to say? But I think that even like the current media and things that are coming out, like if you think about the big suitfluencer, right, TikTok is Simon Gold.
Yes.
And I like Simon, really nice guy, super sweet. But his take on suiting is that it's very formal. It's very classic. He, you know.
Yeah, like him and Derek Guy.
Yeah, right? Like there is a, I think Derek Guy is a little bit more opinionated about suiting. I don't think it ever has to be that serious. I mean, I don't know. If you're like a presidential candidate, I agree. You can be criticized if you're wearing a shitty suit. But like, I'm a 24-year-old in New York. I'm not, you know, going to Pitti Uomo or whatever the fuck and getting the perfect suit done. That being said, I don't know. I think when you see their content and the sort of stuff they put out and their opinions on suiting, it turns it from something that you can do casually into something that needs and necessitates a lot of thought. And I think that drives a lot of people away from it.
Mm. Another kind of big, like, I love suits, and the three designers that I love the most all do very distinct and incredible suits.
Tom Brown
obviously is a suit company.
Yep.
Rick suits are some of his best work, and Balenciaga suits are some of their best work.
Like, I love the big fridge suit that they put out.
Yeah, the
so
2017
good.
One.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful. The Prince of Wales. Yannick, can we get a spring summer 2017 Prince of Wales fridge suit up here with the shorts and the heels? That's incredible.
Thanks, Yannick. Whoa.
Wow.
Look at that. Holy shit.
Look
Thanks,
at that.
Yannick. You're the best.
Yeah, so that's a grail of a suit, but
that's a whale of a suit.
The problem is that like every company makes incredible suits. Suiting is the most expensive component of basically any, which is why you don't see any Tom Brown influencers.
I'm trying to think through.
I know of one.
Who?
Shout
him out.
I always forget his name. That's the problem. I follow him. He has like, I mean, influencer. He has like 2,000 or 3,000 followers.
Okay. I mean, listen, in the current day and age, I follow a Japanese Chrome Hearts influencer who's also a dad. I want to shout him out because he's
sick. Oh, yeah,
that
guy's cool. I've seen him.
No. There's three of them that I follow, and they're all really cool. Hold on. It's...
It's just like
I'm gonna look through while you talk.
Like I'm sort of known for being a Rick person, but if I was a Rick person who only wore suits,
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to do it. Like there's not any way to have that much money. Yeah. If you're a Tom Brown guy, you need so much money to have like
that's true
multiple Tom Brown suits. It's way different. It's also like harder to mix and match, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, fuck, I wish you could go through your comments. I don't know why it's hard to find people. Oh, fuck, that you don't know their names off the top of their head, off the top of your head. But I comment on all of his posts like, you're so sick. Like, keep it real, bro. Keep it pushing. Anyway, he's a dad. And one of the guys posted on his story again, like Chrome Hearts influencer, like, in Japanese, like, my fuck-ass son came home drunk and passed out on the floor. Like, get a load of this guy. I'm like, you're so cool.
Wait, how old is his fuck-ass son?
He's like 16, 17. He's so cool.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. I'm good. Michael's trying to kill me.
Lock in.
Yep.
Anita Maxwin.
Okay. Locked in. Yeah, but I don't know. I think that maybe transitioning a little bit, the U.S. needs to step up its influencer game.
You think so?
Like, we need more people that aren't paid by the brands to promote their clothes.
Isn't that what an influencer is?
I would say they have to be a dedicated fan of it first. Like, so, the Starks family isn't seeding out Chrome Heart leather jackets to these Japanese dudes. They're true to this.
And that's why, also, I would not say that they are. Like, influencer is sort of a repurposed word in that sense.
Correct.
Because they're not getting paid.
Tastemaker?
I was going to say tastemaker, but also, yeah, it's probably tastemaker. But, like, if there's not a lot of people paying attention to you, you also, maybe you're not a tastemaker. Maybe
micro influencer.
Micro tastemaker.
Yo.
Microwave. Microsoft bimbos.
Maybe I'm a micro taste maker.
Whoa.
Yo.
You be making micro taste?
Yeah. I will find this guy. I have to. Sorry to be on my phone on the podcast.
Are you suggesting that, because you said US, are you suggesting that other countries have more like genuine influencers than we
do?
Yeah,
I also think other countries have much cooler people than we do.
Yeah, is that just living here?
Maybe. Actually, I will say, but the people who I meet in, okay, wait. So quick shout out to my favorite Needles influencer, who's also super cool. He's Yukio0324. He's sick. Yana, can we get a Yukio0324 on Instagram? Quick, like one, bang, two, boom. Yo, it's Yukio. He's so cool. He's so well-dressed.
Needles guy.
He wears a lot of needles. He's sick. He also has a really cute kid. But I don't know, like, some of the coolest people I've met in New York, like, Ben is a really great example. Ben is so cool, really funny, dresses really well. What's his Instagram out? Benjamin Achilles?
Benjamin Achilles. I feel like we shout out Benjamin Achilles a lot.
Yo, throw up a Benjamin Achilles.
Can I get a Benjamin
Achilles? Can we get a Benjamin Achilles?
This is going to be a horrible episode for audio listeners and a horrible episode for Yannick.
Whoa. Yo, check that out. Incredible. No, but he's really cool. I feel like He doesn't even post that much, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's...
But that's also a personal choice.
The best-dressed people you know are not posting their fits.
That's true. But
they got
nothing
to prove, that's why.
That's true. That's very, very true. All right, maybe I need to reassess my evaluation of cool or not and what makes it out onto the internet.
I think some of you need to post more fits. And I think some of you need to post less fits and potentially not at all.
Whoa. Not at all.
Some of you.
Get the shit off of my feed. Fuck you.
Some of you should stop posting.
Pop off, queen.
That's all I got. Oh. Nope, that's it.
Okay.
I'm not going to name anyone specific. I can only picture a couple people right
now. I found them. Okay. It's Yamachan, period. 008.
Period.
He's sick. He's a Chrome Hearts influencer in Japan. He's so cool. I can't remember if he's the one who posted my fuck ass son. Yana, can we get a Yamachan period 008 quick 1, 2, 3 or something up here for all the video listeners?
The best part about video watchers. I think some of the like best fanatics of any like the best like single brand fanatics are garbage at taking pictures.
Correct.
They're so like they love that shit, but they cannot.
They're too in love. They're looking past their phone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They look at it and they see the item and not the picture and they're like, yeah. Love that fucking jacket. But it's like got the Kelvin filter and it's cropped and like it's like completely out of focus.
Isn't it good? Isn't it amazing?
Beautiful.
Dude, I love Chrome Heart Fluencer out of Japan. Shout out Yama-chan.
Do you know of any... There's not like big Chrome Hearts influencers.
I mean, like you could argue Wisdom now.
That's true.
I think there's like an event horizon where you start making enough money and just you have to be into Chrome Hearts.
Yep.
As a fashion guy.
You go past a certain point and it's like you suddenly just everything you own is like a little bit Chrome Hearts. Once you make like... huge money.
Well, it's the horseshoe too, right? Like really broke guys who are really into reps will buy the jeans and like the fake chains and the rings. But then you get all the way around. You're like, fuck Chrome Hearts. You know, I make like a decent amount of money. I'm buying the clothes I don't want to buy. And then you come all the way around and you start making money and then you're back to Chrome Hearts.
You're getting the real shit this time.
Yeah.
Yo, there was one of those fuck ass Rogue Garments tell me how much your fit cost videos. Yeah. And three... There's like, you know, it was like two or three guys, and amongst them, they had three of the like very uncommon undercover bullet belt.
Oh.
Like, there's not a lot of those, and the people who have them are like.
I know like, a guy with two of them, and they're real. And he, one, will not let go of them for anything, but two, they're really rare. I don't think more than like 10 exist in either color.
Right. And these guys are supposed to have like a third of the entire like.
Yeah.
Hell no. And the second I like, cause I don't know. I think I'm used to taking that stuff at face value. Like I'm used to if I see someone on like, I don't know why, but if I see someone making like Instagram content about their clothes.
Yeah.
And not explicitly mentioning reps, I think I'm like very,
you just believe.
I'm a little too nice. And I'm like, oh, you know, you're getting interviewed by Rogue Garments or whatever. You probably aren't like wearing fakes. But now I've like re-looked back on a few of those and I'm like, fuck, you guys are all wearing reps.
So you know how racist people have the dog whistles that they look for and like, you know, taps them into the,
yeah.
Oh, they're being racist. There's like the rep dog whistle. You know what I mean? Like you see some Chrome Heart jeans or like, one of those bullet belts or like a Chrome Hearts like wallet chain or a certain ring. What's in it? Oh, the Capital like I've been working like a dog and my laundry is dirty hat. It's the rep dog whistle where like I see it, my eyes like roll back in my head. You know, I'm like a Mentat.
You're
from
like
Dune.
A Mentat. Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Oh, it's fake. I know. Panda Buy. Like Super Buy. Taobao, right? Like it all comes rushing back to me. Cause
even the like dog puked on laundry hat, that's enough.
That's so fake. Oh my God. Of
really?
Course. Yeah.
Damn.
What are the other ones? So again, when I was back into reps, and I'll openly admit that now, 2017, 18, and 19, like, what was I buying? I was buying like Eddie like silk tops that didn't fit. It was so fucked. I like my grail was the, I think it was 2017 gun silk shirt from Yves Saint Laurent. Yannick, can we get that fuck ass silk button down from Saint Laurent with the guns all over it? I like edgy teenager, stupid, ugly clothing. And like I knew all the dog whistles back then. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I was locked in. Nowadays, I obviously haven't paid attention, but it's like, what are, you know. Oh, if you'd like to join the Discord, let us know. You don't even have to know about it, but what would be your, like, this outfit is fake dog whistle? Send us either a photo or a description of the item.
Anita Max.
Anyway, if you'd like to join the Discord, send us a photo or description of what you see and immediately think an outfit is faked. We'll send you an invite to the happiest place in fashion, the Pair of Kings podcast Discord.
Mine is Dunks. Easily Dunks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The second I see Dunks and...
I think it's any Rick shoe for me at this point.
Really?
Yeah, so they're so fake. I mean, you have that fake jacket from Taobao. You're not...
I can kill you. Yeah, I think a lot of the time, if I see Rick shoes in a not Rick outfit...
Ooh, okay.
Because, like, I see a full Rick outfit, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's all real.
Sorry. I don't know, to be honest. I feel like... again, I don't pay attention to it, but there have got to be certain Rick top... Well, I guess it's not the Rick tank tops. It's the puffer jackets.
Yeah.
So if it's puffer jackets, Rick pants, and shoes, then I'm like, especially if it's the
gimp mask one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the real fake one. A lot of the Rick leather hasn't been faked, and I think it's just because it's too scary to kids in high school. They're like, oh, this, you know. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is and I was talking to somebody about this, but the death of the capital S supermodel who only models either runway or editorial, in current day fashion. I feel like a lot of supermodels, as we think of them now, were either influencers previously, had a following, or I think what immediately comes to mind would be like Gigi and Bella Hadid, who I don't even think were initially models, were sort of socialites, then got propelled into modeldom, then sort of became supermodels. But
I mean, a lot of the thing that you think of as capital S supermodel from back then, they were probably socialites before they were known, but there's no record of it because there's no...
Well, the other thought that I had is that a lot of them started while they were so young that it wouldn't have necessarily meant that they came from socialite-ism, socialite-dom.
How did they like find models back in the 90s?
I honestly don't know. I assume a lot of them got casted. And I assume speaking from the couple of models that I know, and this would be back in the 70s and 80s, but people were just approached. And they said, you're beautiful, whatever. We'd like you to model. Have you ever considered it?
That does still happen.
Were given a card. It does. People come up to me all the time. It's really stressful. But I think a lot of that casting also takes place over social media. But then there's also the hazard where, people can look a certain way on social media. Everybody's using the iPhone front-facing camera, which has a certain lens length, and people look different than they do in their selfies. It's why people like were shocked. They know somebody over Snapchat, then you meet them in person, you're like, holy shit. Like, you don't look radically different.
You're talking about people catfishing?
Sort of. I mean, like, not necessarily.
Take them swimming.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Boys be like, yo. Girls be like, no. I don't know. I'm struggling here. Anyway, I just think it is interesting. I feel like there's like, who's the biggest supermodel you can think of that's not the Hadids off the top of your head?
Alex Kansani.
Fair. Give me another one.
What? My like,
see what I mean? No, but hold on. Just bear with me for the thought experiment. Name a supermodel from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Heidi Klum.
Name another. Really?
Yeah, I'm not that good at names.
Oh, all right.
This is
no,
more of
no
me
Kate
problem.
Moss for you?
No, Kate Moss. Yeah, I know Kate Moss.
What is it? Cindy Crawford?
If you asked me Cindy Crawford, I would have told you
Giselle
that
Bundchen.
She was a country singer. Giselle Bundchen?
Dude, how are you this well dressed and you don't know who Giselle Bundchen is?
She Bundchen my.
Shut the fuck up. No, my point is, I think in the modern day, like, there are a couple of supermodels who are really.
Look, nothing Giselle Bundchen has ever worn is going to directly affect how I dress.
I disagree. I think there would be a trickle down effect.
Yeah, like, trickle down, but not in the sense that I need to know.
We're doing
who,
Reaganomics and fashion.
Not
now.
In the sense that I need to know who. Yeah, look, if you let the people with the most followers dress good, it'll trickle down.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, if you cede the stuff to the people with the most followers, obviously it'll trickle down and everybody will start.
Everybody gets a little bit of swag.
Wait, does Reaganomics work in fashion?
Is that the one place that Reaganomics works? Is it in Reaganomics works in clout?
Yeah, I think it does.
Fuck.
Shit.
Damn.
What, like Ronald Reagan's in hell right now in Chrome Hearts? Like, I told him. I tried to tell you.
Ronald Reagan predicted Ronald Reagan in the sweatpants, the button-up shirt, and the tie.
Oh, fuck. Don't.
I know that's a fucking tired thing to talk about, but imagine that, but the sweatpants got little Chrome Hearts.
Oh, gallery department?
Yo! And the shirt's Tom Brown.
Oh, no. It's horrendous. I hate that.
I don't know if this is what I was trying to talk about earlier, but I would like to talk about this.
Wait, but quiet luxury proves Reaganomics in fashion.
Sorry, you just, that sentence sucks. What did you just?
Quiet luxury. Yannick, hold on. Yannick, put these words up so people can read them, right? Quiet luxury proves Reaganomics in fashion. Six words.
Reaganomics works in fashion?
Well, it just proves that it, that's how it goes.
Okay.
right? You get the rich people wearing stuff. They're so rich. Oh, I don't want, I'm wearing Loro Piana. And then all the broke boys are like, oh, I put on Uniqlo button down shirts and, you know.
I think loud luxury proves that.
I wanted to scream
that Reaganomics
so bad.
Works.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it works both ways. God damn it. Ronald Reagan was right about one thing. I will not support him in any other way, but Reaganomics works when related to fashion. Unfortunately, as much as I hate to admit it. I'll admit when I'm wrong. Listen, I'll admit when I've been outthought. I'll admit when I've been proven wrong. This is the same thing with Teddy Santis and Amy Leondore. I don't like it, but he's making money.
But
and
you
I
respect
have to,
the hustle.
I have to respect the hustle. Fuck.
But within the next few months, I will get a Grail shoe of mine.
Okay, which is?
It's one of the, like, least wearable Rick shoes. Of the, like, it's one of the, like, not least wearable in, like, the like, you can't put it on sense, but, like, it's one of the, like, most bricked Rick shoes of all time.
So, again, I know not that much about Rick, and I was trying to go through all the Rick shoes that I know in my head. It's like three. I'm just like, oh, it can't be one of those. Uh-oh.
They're like 2014-ish. They're what Rick was wearing. They're they're like Ramones, but they're tall and they flare out. They're called laceless Ramones.
Yeah, Yannick, can we get the laceless 2014 Ramones that Rick was wearing?
Can we just get laceless Ramones up here? So it's like if you cover the top of it, it looks like mainline Ramones.
Okay.
And then it's just got like sort of the same as the like the tractor sole boots. It just like goes up into this big flared tongue with a square.
Can you fold them down? Are they leather?
Yeah. You're supposed to fold down the tongue by Rick's like example.
Okay.
But it's like you can truly only wear them with like pod shorts. And okay. they give you like really tiny legs and like really like big ass shoes and big ass shorts.
Like, oh, the Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's very much like the original Rick silhouette of clothing that's like a little bit fucked up.
Sure.
It's like if like laceless geobaskets were really tall. Okay. You know, they okay. flare
yeah,
out
yeah,
so much.
I'm just picturing it in my head.
In any
sure.
case, I've been looking for these for a while. They are, because they're quite old, most of them are fucking destroyed. Yeah. Like there was a pair for $190 on Grailed,
oh.
but the sole all around the top of the stitching was gone. Like it was crumbling off.
Sole around the top. So again, I've seen a lot of videos from shoe repair shops. There's a couple. I mean, like I
like the
say
ones that will resell them for you.
Yeah,
but
would that have worked?
Yes, but like
that's also like $300.
Goods
bucks.
And Services charges you $400 to do a like true Rick resoling where they remake the sole out of leather.
Sure.
No one does it out of rubber.
Would you want them to
no,
be rubber?
No, and also if I'm spending $500, I could probably just find a better pair. The other thing, so yeah, it's like they're either destroyed, and it's, you know, I'm looking for one specific size. They're either destroyed, not my size, and destroyed, or like $1,000. And no one's paying that because yeah. they're ugly, but they're just sitting. I found a guy on Grailed selling a pair for like $200.
Oh.
Pretty good condition. Like they're like creased and the sole has gone yellow, but like they're not.
That's what you like though.
They're not ruined in any way.
Yep.
So that's fine with me. I'll take it like a decade after they were made.
Yeah.
That's crazy. A pretty best case scenario. Like the last time they were officially made, I think was 2016.
Okay.
In any case.
Do you know what year?
No, okay. But
is there a way to tell
from the zippers? They're probably 20. They're either 2014 or 2012.
You're such a nerd. I love you. That's so cute that you know that.
I you can date a lot of Rick shoes by zipper.
You can date a Rick shoe?
You could date a Rick shoe.
Take him out to dinner? What a stupid joke.
Yeah, I almost made it myself.
Yana, like, can we get the ugliest photo of me you can find of?
In any case, so I'm going to get them, but I'm off-siting. This guy is
Grailed, ban this man.
He's in China. He gave me two shipping options. One is $50 and will take 9 to 15 weeks. One is $100 and will take 10 days. And I'm like, I guess I'll do the $50 one.
How does it take 9 to 15
it's the,
weeks?
Like,
is
it's,
somebody walking them?
It's
to the
like
States?
Surface thing. I don't know. It apparently it takes a long time to get out of like customs in China. I'm not thinking it'll actually be that long. But also, this fucking guy,
he's on a bicycle.
He said he can't. It's one of those cars that that also goes in water. So they just drive straight into the fucking ocean and then all the way to Los Angeles and then pull out on land and then drive across the country.
Somebody knocks on your door. It's a dude from mainland China, like soaking wet still, like has soot around, like goggle marks on his eyes. I've traveled all the way here.
He also said he's working 6 days a week right now, so he'll be able to ship them in like a week.
Sick.
So maybe by the end of the year, I'll have these shoes, but I've been looking for them for like
you just got scammed, buddy.
I mean, it's PayPal. If it goes to 180 days, I'm doing a chargeback.
You're scamming this poor
dude. No.
Like 6 days a week, you prick.
Fuck off.
He's busting his ass to get you these shoes.
If it goes to 180 days after I've paid and he hasn't shipped it, I'll kill you.
Please do. Put me out of my misery. Anyway. It's me when Michael locks me in his credenza for being bad.
So when I first got into Rick, I was like still a little.
You got into Rick? He let you hit, bro? such a dumb joke.
He was
sorry,
he was. When I first got into Rick, I was like not trying to dress that crazy, and I saw those shoes and I'm like, those are fucking ugly. And then by the time I came around to them, it was like, and I was dressing way more ugly. They were gone.
Yeah.
Missed my chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. What else was I going to say? Oh, I had another. So reselling clothes has gotten me really pissed off lately. And I think that everybody wants to believe that what they're buying has been bought at a good enough price and is cool enough and rare enough where it should sell for more than what they paid for. But clothes are depreciating asset. They do not accrue in value.
Stop buying stuff with the idea of reselling it in mind already.
Correct. Wear your clothes, enjoy them for their life, and then if they get to the point where you're not wearing them or they're busted up and you don't want to fix them, you can either donate them to a thrift shop, that'd be cool, or sell them to somebody at a reasonable price. Not everything that you buy and everything that you sell is going to make you money. And I think it's fucked up that that's the way that people see clothes nowadays. But I think that Instagram and TikTok are not a lot to blame, but they push this idea that every piece of clothing you buy can be resold for at least what you paid for it. And I think that's mega fucked up.
I think that's a pyramid scheme, right? Ponzi scheme?
Yeah.
That's a Ponzi scheme.
Nah, it's not really what a Ponzi scheme is. We can call it that, though.
I don't know anything.
Most annoying guy you've ever met at the bar. That's not a Ponzi scheme. See, a Ponzi scheme... I'm not going to do the whole thing.
No, just like the idea that like you're just constantly being convinced that everything can make you more money. And
it's an
someone's
MLM.
Someone's going to be left. But that's holding a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's a pyramid scheme.
But no, I do think it is fucked up. Like, for people who are making full-time jobs out of flipping clothing, I get it. That's respectable. You're putting in time.
I don't think it's respectable.
No. So hold on. If you're finding, like, you know, 1989 Jordans at the thrift, fine. I understand. Those have value. If you're finding a busted up Seattle Supersonics hat at the thrift that smells like piss, bent to shit, is stained, looks like ass, and you're taking a photo of it in the fucking back of your cigarette stained Honda Civic, you shouldn't be charging more than like $7 for that. Let's be real. That should not be going for $85 on eBay. Yannick, if you wouldn't mind, throw up like a Seattle Supersonics hat just on eBay, just as a thought experiment. I'm guessing it's going to be like $48 and it looks like shit.
Wow, that does look like shit.
Let me hold on. I this is like, the more I think about this, the more mad it gets me, because I think that's what drives people to buy reps. When they look at the clothes they want and it's a cooked pair of fucking Rick Dunks with the staples missing and the sole going and scratches and creases and everything, and they're going for $800 on Grailed, That's what makes people go over to fucking Daft whatever. Is daft.co.
The thing is that if you buy more than anything, if you buy Dunk Reps, we all know.
Okay, so Seattle Supersonics hat. This one is in decent condition. $25, $38, $65, new with tags. Shut up. $40. There it is. Vintage, 1990s, Logo Athletic, NBA, Seattle Supersonics, 90s, rare. It is $450. Fuck you, D. Rodriguez, 248.
It's
really fucked up. Like, this stuff, again, like, thrifting used to be cool. It used to be so fun. You could go, oh, cool, a vintage basketball jersey. That's fun. I'll wear that. That's cool. But now you go and you see that vintage basketball jersey, you're like, oh, my God, the Depop resellers haven't gotten here. I could get $60 for this. The mentality has changed, and it's fucked up. It makes me sad. It does. Oh, you know what's the worst? I went to Japan and look at all my pickups, and then you check their Depop, and they're
all there.
Why did you go? Why did you? For content? Fuck you.
To make money, I guess. Shit.
Nobody's buying your shitty, hysteric, glamour 90s baby tee, bro.
People are.
Really?
Yeah, it's a problem because it works.
People, I mean this genuinely. If you want to find cool clothes, come join the Pair of Kings Discord. There are people who will help. Marquise is so helpful. Mm. We had him on the podcast, Marquise Martin. I bring up once every 6 months, I'm like, I think I would like a leather overcoat. And Marquise will send me 85 options on eBay, all of which are like less than $100 for a leather overcoat. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, there are people who know their shit in there, and they'll help you find things. If you're looking to come and resell shit, get the fuck out. I don't want you in there. Fuck you. If you're looking and you're just like, I want to dress better. I want to stop buying reps. I want to learn a little bit more. Come join.
If you, and I can only help you with a couple brands, but if you wear Rick reps and you would like to stop, talk to me and I will probably find you what you're looking for.
I think what you should do is if you help somebody buy an item, they should have to ship you their rep first of said item.
We'll do that. Yeah, it's like a government gun buyback.
Exactly.
I'll help you find the thing you have a rep of for cheap if you mail me your shit ass rep.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
If anybody wants help finding whatever
I can't do dunks. There's no real dunks.
My interests and my finds are a lot more eclectic than Michael's. If you want, you know, vintage fishing gear, on the
man,
low.
I can't stop wearing reps of Daiwa Pier 39.
They do make them. Oh, unfortunately, geez. It's fucked.
Even my fishing rod is a rep.
You cast and the fish is like, no, fuck you.
Shit, fake as hell. Dude. I don't know any fishing rod brands, or I'd make a more pointed joke.
You could Penn, Sage, Daiwa. There's a million.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been looking.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, I've kind of just been using my eyes. Just not for anything specific. I've been seeing things. Not like seeing things.
Michael admits he's schizophrenic live on bot.
Did
your suit missing a button? Should there be a fourth there? Oh no, it's just not through.
You're supposed to leave it unbuttoned as per the Tom Brown rules.
Oh, what are the rules? Like, he comes and kills you if you.
Because
I'll do it too. I'm getting peer pressure.
It's like a thing with surgeon cuffs, you know, like actual functional buttons. It's like the Tom Brown idea that everything's just like slightly off.
Okay.
You leave one undone. It's like it's sort of done as a flex to show that you have actual functional cuffs.
Yeah, mine are functional.
To the thing, the Tom Brown thing is like everything's pretty much always left unbuttoned.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's kind of disheveled.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm letting that man tell me how to dress. I've been looking at raw denim on eBay.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I mean, I've gotten really into light wash jeans, but most light wash jeans suck because they're fake. Like, you can sort of look at them and be like, oh, that's like weird wash type shit. It doesn't look normal. and all of my rods are too skinny and too small for me. I've been looking at, like, and I hate that I'm doing this. I've been looking at worn-in raws.
Boo.
Yeah, that sucks.
Do you want me to, I'd be completely serious in offering this. I could get a pair of raw denim, probably in your size. I don't know if I could button them, but I'll wear them underneath mine. And then fade them for you?
I don't know if you could. I can barely fit into my size.
Well, do you
you're
want
not going to fit two pairs of jeans. Over. No, but I don't know. I don't think you're getting the logistics right here. But in any case, wouldn't that be just getting someone else's fades? The problem is, like,
I feel like if you have like a indentured servant for fades, it's kind of sick.
I know that I feel like I've beaten raw denim. Is that fucked up?
I want a fade competition. Exactly. If you look up raw denim.
All right, chill out. So it's more like I don't like the look of new raw denim.
Yeah.
I don't like them for the first like 10 months.
At least. Yeah.
Probably more like a year. I don't like how they look anymore. They don't match anything I wear. Really beat up light wash jeans do.
Did we talk about this? You just don't like navy.
I don't like navy.
Yeah.
So
that's tough.
The raw denim that I have that fits me is like very dark double indigo, so it's not fading to really light wash jeans.
Sure.
They're still super blue. Don't like them. The raw denim that has gone light wash is way too tight on me now. So I've been looking at buying pairs of pre-faded jeans, and unfortunately there's some really good ones. It's not much different. Like the fucked up thing is, like, if I go to Front General and buy a pair of like beat up 70s Levi's, they're $500. They're really beautiful, but they're insanely expensive for Levi's.
Nobody's buying my 50s Levi's, and I've got them up for like, I'd sell them for like $500.
But
they're too big.
I go to like eBay and search for like samurai jeans worn in, they're like $80. People are just getting rid of them.
Dude, Yahoo Japan is much cheaper. You could find studio artists in denim for like $50.
Shit, like worn in ones?
Worn in ones, yeah.
I feel terrible about it. I would potentially buy them thinking I want them as light wash jeans and then feel guilty and like I'm stealing valor every time I wear them. But yeah. I've been doing it.
We had Rax on the podcast. I saw it. I'm so like, I hate that I'm saying this. I saw him like, a pair of jeans that had a Nara pair of girls stitched into the back pockets, and that
what's a Nara?
Nara, the Nara? Artist. I think it's Yoshimoto Nara.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Stitched into the back pockets. I kind of want a pair like that. With that like chain stitching on the back pockets. I'd have to decide what it would be, but I kind of want fish. I feel like that'd be really cool. Like a rainbow trout and a little brookie. That'd be so cool. I'll have to text Rax and see if he'll do it for me. But
in order to chain stitch a pocket, would you have to take the pocket off?
I think so.
Are your jeans...
These now, I couldn't restart because I've also got like the pocket fades that I'm proud of. But a new pair of jeans I'd do.
Okay. Well, the problem is most of the jeans you own probably have hidden rivets.
Yeah,
so
they
you
do.
Can't take that pocket off and put it back on.
Oh, that's a good point. I'd have to look for a pair without hidden rivets.
Unless you like cut it off just, I don't know. There's a way around
it's a good
this,
point.
But
Oscar.
Hey, Oscar.
Oscar's awake. That's Michael's cat.
Looking at raw denim.
So do they have to be raw?
Because
you've got a cool pair of light wash, the ones that you picked up in London. Those are quite cool.
Yeah, they're like the vintage Levi's. No, they don't have to be raw.
What's,
but like,
what's the matter with those?
The problem is like... I mean, I don't really like how they fit, for one.
Okay.
They're a little too big on me. And also, like...
Get your weight up.
I really want... Like, I really like nice Japanese denim.
Okay.
And I want that in jeans.
Jeans, American, board, Wojak. Jeans, Japanese, soy jack.
It's just... I don't know. It's just the idea that, like, I'm so, like...
You're so Japan-filled, bro.
I'm so...
You're Tokyo maxing.
I'm very
You're Kojima
much
maxing.
Oh, God. I'm a Okayama maxing.
I'm an Okayama max denim-pilled indigo cell.
Yes.
Okay.
That is me.
I am so congested. I apologize for all listeners if I've, like, sounded really nasal this week.
Nasal.
I got a head cold. And Michael, I don't know if y'all remember last season on the podcast, Michael gave me Chinese Robitussin, and I can't take that again. I was scared.
I was geeked.
I think I need some Robitussin. No, I missed.
I need the Mark Swing.
Robitussin American.
Robitussin Chinese.
I don't even think it's different. I don't think it's a different active ingredient. I think it's it might have just been.
Well, no, I had had like a bunch of caffeine that day and nothing to eat. And then it
Robitussin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yup. Nice.
You ever just like look at your hand?
Okay.
There's dead air to cut out.
No, I think it's okay to leave it. I had one more topic that I wanted to talk about. Clothes don't have resale value. Models. Fashion Week is coming up. Yes. This will probably release after Fashion Week. I feel like New York has a very
weak
lineup.
What was your favorite show?
Ooh. You want to do predictions? And then we can find out in hindsight and sound super wrong about all of these.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let me pull up the schedule. So
there's not a lot of people. So
there's Helmut Lang again. Yeah. Which is going to suck.
My guess is that Helmut Lang will be better. And it will definitely be my okay, so I'm predicting an article that's like Peter picks it up or like, you know, like he's back, he's in the swing of things now.
Oh Jesus.
Like someone's gonna do a like after a disappointing first runway show.
Okay. All right. You wanna I'll just go through the ones
Lang
that
will... is opening this time, right? Instead of closing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking for all the ones.
The thing is that not a lot of people show in February.
No, I mean, why would you?
September, it's way less common. So a lot of people this season are doing or will have done presentations rather than runway shows. Yeah. So like sort of just like a showroom or like a party or an event or something. And those don't get put on the calendar. And, you know, some people are doing like...
They don't have all the brands on here. That's weird.
Because not a lot of them are showing.
No, but even like Helmut Lang wasn't on the official website for some reason.
Oh, you need to find the like PDF calendar.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. This is so odd.
I think
like Helmut Lang isn't on the opening day of New York Fashion Week. I wonder what happened.
Weird.
They killed him.
They killed him.
But I stand by my previous take, and let's see if it holds that there are only a couple of designers coming out of New York and who present in New York that are worth paying attention to. It's Willy. Yannick, would you put up a photo of Willy Chavarria? It is Loire. Yannick, would you put up a photo of Loire? And fuck, who is my third one? I always forget the third one. It'll come to me. Fuck.
This also, I think, is influenced by the fact that you mostly are looking at menswear.
Well, that's what I pay attention to. Yeah. Like, you know, I think there are a lot of really cool...
Cozaburo.
But he's not New York-based.
He is.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then Cozaburo.
He's my neighbor.
Is he really?
Not really, but we live like reasonable walking distance from
here. Where does he live? What's his address? I think there are... I mean, call me basic for liking it. I really think Mira Pele does cool stuff.
Mm.
I think that Paloma Wool's been doing really cool stuff for women.
Yeah.
I got really excited. Karej is sort of back. I love like the 70s mod look.
Mm.
And they make stuff for men. It's all really small. I tried on a 50, which is technically a large. I was like, why is this so slim? Why is it hugging my arms?
How do we feel about Dion Lee?
You know what? I'm going to abstain from having an opinion until I look into it more. Because I have been guilty in the past of coming way, way out of pocket about something I don't know that much about and then having to walk it back or just getting shown up.
I was just checking if you unstitched your pockets. You didn't.
Not all the way.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
Sounds like you.
What the fuck does that mean, bitch? What?
I'm not...
Yeah. Now it's unstitched.
Wow, that looked like it took a lot of effort.
No, it didn't. It was effortless.
Skipping the gym?
I totally
rotated. So, anyways.
What do you want out of me? You're so mean to me. Fuck you. You're not witnessing the Pair of Kings podcast fall apart.
this has been our last episode.
I'm going to fight Michael after this.
No, Dion, my, what I've seen of Dion Lee, I typically like, but again, it's not one I see a lot of.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel like a lot of these brands are figuring out how to navigate current fashion, and what to do in order to, one, stay relevant and stay within the conversation, because the public attention span is so short, and the necessity to like keep jumping the shark or keep doing something. And I think Marc Jacobs is a great example of this, but to constantly pump out, like, you know, Twitter sharing content, right? Like the long couch, where you just get bombarded with this thing, and then a week and a half later, everybody's forgotten about it.
Well, yeah, the we are kind of out of the Heaven by Marc Jacobs era.
No, I don't think so. I think, well, they're starting something now again, where they had a Cindy Sherman. I don't know if it was modeling or whatever. Now they have Lil Uzi Vert in an ad campaign for them, and a bunch of other stars. Like, yeah,
I haven't seen them. Like, without looking for Heaven by Marc Jacobs, I haven't seen Heaven by Marc Jacobs.
No,
lately.
But it's again, like, it's one of those things where I'm sure, and watch my words ring true, it's going to be like mid to late February after Fashion Weekends, and there's going to be another thing where Marc Jacobs Fest, where it's like, oh, hi, damn. Yeah, oh, we're kind of boys now. Where it's, you know, it's a bunch of artists that are up and coming, and he's sponsoring it, or it's, I don't know. There's going to be some Marc Jacobs heavily shared thing that gets pasted all over Instagram again, and it's going to happen in like mid to late February or early March. And again, it's going to be like, oh, they're doing X, Y, or Z, and it's going to get talked about again. It's going to be like, I don't like this because it's basic. I don't like it because I'm seeing it all the time. But it's going to, you know, the Marc Jacobs content engine is going to get revved again. I promise. I know it's gonna happen.
I'm gonna take that bet. I'm gonna say I think it might be dying down. I think people
are bored.
I'll
throw you coffee if it doesn't happen by March 10th.
Okay.
All right.
There we go.
Yeah.
The Heaven by Marc Jacobs bet is on. Avavav, we have differing opinions about this. Avavav is New York, right?
I don't know. I think I'm slowly coming around on it. I like a spectacle. I think fashion needs more whimsy. It needs more spectacle.
Yeah.
It needs more, like, there's a way to get eyes on things in a way that is annoying and a spectacle. And there's a way to get eyes on things that is a spectacle and it's fun. And it's like, oh, yay. Like,
yeah,
they're doing something.
And I think that they have done a fun spectacle.
There's one really annoying influencer who...
Want to say it? We can bleep it.
No, I don't want to make more work for Yannick. I'll show you on my phone while we talk, and Yannick, I'll clue you in too if you message me and you're like, who's this person you hate? But they're really annoying, and I think that they use spectacle and like fake whimsy, and they seem like they're really fun and carefree, but they're just really annoying. I don't know if you've experienced the hellish encounter that this is that is this person taking over your Instagram.
No, I've never seen them ever, and I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so just wait. Now that I've mentioned them to you in person, they'll start popping up in your reels, and you'll have to watch that content, which is hellish. And I
bro, my reels are a finely tuned machine that does not show me anything fashion related.
So I started getting like rare fruit reels, and I was like, yes, we made it. And then it went back to that, and I was like, fuck.
I've been on like crack smoking reels.
I'm sorry?
Like the not even, no, crack cooking reels.
Oh, re-rocking videos.
Yeah, and yeah. I've been on like, and you know, I'm assuming one after the other. And then like, I get a lot of like sports fails.
Oh.
And then I get like really weird shit.
So I get...
I mean, I send you a lot of it.
Yeah, I get cartel reels.
Oh, yeah, I've avoided like cartel talk. I was on it for a bit, and I was like, I don't think I want to be
like
on this.
Like the pill punching machines? So they market like pill pressing machines on Instagram. I don't know why, but I get like two or three videos a day. I don't spend that much time on Instagram, but it's like, this pill can put out 2,000 compressions in an hour. Like, isn't that incredible? And I'm like, yeah, that's super cool. It's making, you know, Xanax in the shape of Mickey Mouse heads. I'd buy that if I was the cartel. Why not?
It's whimsical.
We need more whimsy.
I want to stamp. I want to get a pill press and make like Donald Duck heads, but it's like Tylenol.
Oh, you want? Okay.
I'm pressing my multivitamin into the Tesla logo.
That'd be really funny. You're at a rave and some guy's like, I've got that good. It's like to a leave in the shape of the Tesla logo.
Yeah. Because Zyrtec really tiny. So it's like 10 Zyrtec required. You're not going to have allergies for a month. You're going to smell sound.
Advil liquid gel, just like it's a loose fluid squeezed out.
You just sort of reshape the pouch.
There's a new trend on the rise, which I so again, this isn't about the trend itself. It's the mob wife trend, but it again goes back to my perpetual conversation on this podcast about counterculture. But I think brands have figured it out so well, and I think influencers have.
Does nothing have time to be counterculture anymore?
I agree. I don't think that any of these cultures are. I'd say counter trend.
Yeah.
Because it's so much shorter. But it's upsetting.
I guess it's by the time you find out about it. But like,
yeah,
counterculture doesn't seem to like exist very long before it becomes culture.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, everybody just wants to jump on the new thing. God, I'm so congested. I'm sorry, everybody. It's really bad.
Everybody just wants to jump.
But no, I mean, seriously, like, clean girl aesthetic is out and mob wife is in. And I'm sure all the people that you saw on your Instagram who are doing clean girl are now going to be wearing leopard print. And that's fine. But again, like, it is like you said, nothing has time to, like, set down roots.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
There's and, like, no... I guess not even that. Like, nothing has time to like be controversial before it's picked up by everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's upsetting. I like a not outrage. I don't like pissing people off for like bad reason, but I do like group of people that say this isn't for me. This doesn't agree with me. We're gonna go our own way. But that, you know, that takes what?
You can go, yeah.
It takes 2 weeks now. Like,
yeah. Things move too fast.
Okay, so quiet luxury was the thing for men. What's the opposite? Like monograms, or bring back really loud monograms?
Yeah, we're doing all over print Balenciaga sweaters and like Gucci shit.
Yeah, I mean, no, like genuinely, what would be the reaction to that?
I mean, if you write the correct article about it, it'll start right up.
Yeah. To all
quiet luxury dead? Oh. The rise of loud luxury.
No, it'd be like loud grunge.
Loud grunge. The true opposite.
I mean, like there's gotta be like a, it wouldn't be loud grunge, it'd be like a grunge revival, grunge core, grunge 2.0. I'm serious. Like there's going, you know, to all the aspiring TikTokers that want to blow up, be like, fuck quiet luxury, it's time for grunge 2.0, grunge a bunge. I don't fucking
grunge
know.
A bunge.
There's something there, right?
Grunge 2. This time it's personal.
Grunge 2, the grungeoning.
The grungeoning.
Enter the grungeon.
Yo, do you remember, what's the word? Glunge? You remember glunge?
What is glunge? Glam grunge?
Yeah, you remember
That's
that shit?
That's sick. No, I don't remember glunge.
They used to call Rick glunge.
Yannick, throw up glunge.
Can I get a glunge up here? Can I get a grundle? Don't put that up there.
Why do I know that?
I think I...
Oh, yep. Don't look that up. Fuck. Wow, the last, guess what the last or the top result for Glunge came out?
Oh.
I Googled it.
It was the last.
Comes from Glamour
like
Magazine,
2014?
Fashion Speak, Glunge.
2014?
2009.
Damn. Like, Glunge and Health Goth and like.
What the fuck? It's so low in the like conversation. The fourth, the fourth result is Glunge. Wikipedia. Glub Shitto is really a
Glub
thing, right?
Glub Shitto, yeah. Oh, they brought back Glub Shitto. My prediction for this.
Oh, this is just
week,
Eddie. Like, this is.
Yeah, it's glamorous grunge.
Yeah.
It's like.
It's old Beaumont. Yeah.
I think grunge is coming back.
Yo. Yeah. Yo. Oh, wait. Not every day, but I want to learn how to do like smoky eyeliner. But you know when in Furiosa and Mad Max when she smears the oil on her face and it's kind of like all over,
yeah,
but it looks sick. I want to be able to do that.
Tight.
I feel like I'd rock the shit out of that. Also, I think I'm at the fuzzy wuzzy stage of my haircut, which I hate. I don't think I want to wait for it to grow out. I think I might just keep the buzz cut.
You have to. I think it's.
I have to.
Yep, it's required.
By who?
Well, by the fact that
Society for Men That Kind of Look Like Skinheads.
As soon as we have 100 followers on Hero Hero, you have to get the certified lover boy haircut.
Yeah.
Anita McSween.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to, but also there's
if I'm really into birds? This is such a bad joke.
I'm gonna mute you. I don't even know. Where
I'm
this
a
is
certified
going, gonna...
lover boy.
A what?
A plover. It's a type of small shoreline bird. I thought it was really funny. This is a plover.
What if you were
really cute?
What if you were in a band that played versions of other people's songs and you were a certified cover boy?
Yo! What if I could fly but only a couple of inches off the ground? I was a certified hover boy.
Yo, what if you killed someone in their sleep with a pillow and you were a certified smother boy?
What if I was really into a really shitty game for the Nintendo GameCube and I was certified Glover boy?
Yo, what if you had a sibling that was a boy and you were a certified brother boy?
Does that work?
I don't know. What if you couldn't pronounce car names and you were a certified Range Rover boy?
Shut the fuck up. That's fucking terrible. I hated that. If we get to 500, this is the lofty thing. If we get to 500 people on Hero Hero, I will let the community decide. I will get a fuck ass haircut. You all can pick what it is. I will dye it. I will cover all costs. I could get the Range Rover logo on the side of my head and dye it green. You can do whatever you'd like. If we get to 500 people by the end of this season, you guys can pick what hair I have. I will stand by that.
I feel like I should let the community decide a small tattoo for me at a certain point.
Oh, we can do that for 400.
I think it needs to be more than that. Those are permanent, you know.
600?
Maybe, yeah.
Holy shit, he has sharp nails. Okay. I'm trying to think about what it would be. Oh, they're going to do you really dirty.
Yeah, it'll be bad.
All right, it's locked in now.
I don't know if it's locked in. It's not locked in. We're thinking about it, though.
Don't back off.
I didn't back off. I said that I wanted to think about it.
Okay, very fair.
I didn't back in. I never fronted in. How can I back off?
I always go back in.
Front on? I never fronted on.
You never fronted on anybody.
I think, I think I've gotten very, I don't like most fashion content.
Neither do I.
As someone who makes it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like pretentious to say, but also I tend to all of my friends who make fashion reels and TikToks and whatever, love y'all. I skip those things. I probably like them and then just keep going.
I've hide post by some people because Instagram gets on those tracks where it just shows you like the same
one person.
Four.
Yeah, there's a guy I need to do that
so
with.
So annoying. And I don't mean this in any sort of negative way to any of my friends who make reels or content. Michael, you're probably the one notwithstanding because I call you a nerd on every post and I think it's really funny.
Right, but you don't have to watch them.
Correct. I mute it. I look at one thing and then I call you a nerd and then I go to the next thing.
Perfect.
If I'm in bed at 11 o'clock and I see one of my friends pop up on Reels, I get like disproportionately mad and I will don't show a post by that person. And if I see it again, like I'll use my phone in the toilet, fine, toilet time, whatever. You
toilet
can
time.
Put shit in front of me. Ha ha ha. So funny. But I don't want to see fashion content. Especially, I mean, I will say, I like Wesley makes good videos. And you know, he made ones recently about his mom's shirt collection. I was like, I'll watch that, sure. I can't. Even with Wesley, who does research and they're very good, if I see more than like two in a row and I'm like, I don't want to hear about a dune sofa. I don't want to hear about a Herman Miller chair. I don't want to hear about this one lamp. Like, again, Wesley, I love you. This isn't a knock on you. But I don't want the hidden New Yorkification, which happened to my feed in like 2019, to happen to my reels. I want my reels to be weird fruit. I want it to be videos of dachshunds, and I want it to be the cartel. That's it. If I see anything else, I'm going to be upset.
You heard him.
Yeah. Can we get like an Ai Weiwei of fashion? You know how he dropped those Han Dynasty vases? That was like his big piece, I think, that really burst him out on the scene. You know the artist I'm talking about?
I know Ai Weiwei. I don't know the vases you're talking about.
It was so his big work. Yana, can we get Ai Weiwei dropping the Han Dynasty vase? It's a beautiful triptych of him dropping a Han Dynasty vase. We need somebody to do that. Like light, melt down a Chrome Hearts chain to its base components. Light a pair of Rick shoes on fire. Drop one of the fucking undercover statues of Mickey Mouse on the... drop that off of a building. Like, I want to see somebody subvert the hype. You can copy an existing artist. That's fine. But, like, no more upcycling. Just destroy something. Make a comment.
That man spent $1,000 just for some views, just for some likes on TikTok.
Yeah. It's rage baiting. That's what Ai Weiwei did. He rage baited.
He rage baited.
And he was good at it. Bring back... Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Okay. Okay.
This Oscar's just stretching, dude. He's chill.
Yeah, but he gets the...
Yeah, his claws are pulling them out.
Them fangs.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. We need like an Ai Weiwei.
The thing is, if Oscar is going to attack you when he's on your lap...
I can't really stop it.
You won't know because he won't ease into it.
Oh, fuck.
He'll just bite.
Great. I'm so excited when he moves his
but
tail.
He's not going to.
Okay.
My point is, so slumped. Look at him.
We have so many people within fashion who are so like deep into it. And it doesn't seem like the subversion that we get, which for a time was Luke Blovad. It was like this funny, like ridiculous commentary. And then he became like core. Like, you know, he got looped back in.
You run out of ideas eventually.
You do, unfortunately. He was winning White Boy. He won White Boy of the Year last year.
What, you know what? We have the Ai Weiwei shit, and it's people making videos of them being the first one to buy an iPhone 13 and then dropping it immediately.
No, but I want it within fashion. I went to the Balenciaga sample sale, bought a bunch of stuff, and then, I don't know. Don't destroy clothes. Now that I say that, like, clothes...
It sounds kind of like,
It does, and it kind of is. Maybe I'm walking, but the whole point of the Ai Weiwei thing was like a commentary on China's history, one, and then two, like the glorification of a nation's past and the fact that the nation's past was so illustrious, it was holding it back for future progress. Not necessarily saying that you should abandon all history, but that being too entrenched in your own history makes you beholden to it in a way that prevents you from moving forward.
Being too entrenched in your own fits holds you back from moving on to better fits.
How do you subvert that? Who do we know who's subverting that? That'd be a good podcast.
Think about it later.
Yeah. Anyway, are there any, like, Jürgen Teller is now the go-to for everything. Right. And I love him. Don't get me wrong. I think his work is great. I love Jürgen Teller. Love kind of a shitty photo, even though they're not that shitty. And everybody's like, oh, I could do that. No, you can't. Jürgen Teller's really good at what
he
does.
You didn't know.
No. Do you have a photographer who you would like to see either shoot more campaigns or work with more people or just generally be more popular within the industry?
My friends.
Oh. What are their names?
Marco Giannavola.
Yo. Yannick, can we get a Marco post up here?
Get M. Jonah Vold up here. You know, I'm really bad at names.
Yeah.
This is a thing.
Yeah.
They just don't stick in my brain. So the problem is that until I see that photographer, I can't remember the names of the people who I would like to see more often. Unless they're my friends, and I would like all of my friends to do great.
So I brought it up. Nadia Lee, and I know she's pretty popular. She did A$AP Rocky's music video, Babushka Boy, maybe? And she had a huge exhibit in New York, I believe 2 years ago, that did pretty well, and people were a big fan of hers. But since then, I haven't seen much out of her, and it's disappointing. She does pretty great work with makeup, with clothing, with set dressing, this sort of like weird, absurdist, parallel reality photography. And I'd love to see her get more work, especially as a space is opened for commentary on the internet and how we present ourselves. And she does a lot of work with identity. She does a lot of self-portraiture. I would love to see more Nadia Lee photography in fashion. And I don't know. I think that fashion photography has also sort of fallen to the wayside. And it's disappointing to me, genuinely. You know, I was going through some old Vogues. And there's Steven Meisel. Beautiful photos. But even campaigns now aren't necessarily shot by an illustrious photographer unless it is...
Does it need to be shot by an illustrious photographer?
Not necessarily, but I think it brings a different aspect to fashion and a different angle to it that we don't see because things are like advertising and media is now done through influencers on TikTok and Instagram, which is fine. I understand times change, but I love an artistic presentation of a set of clothes. I love seeing someone's take on them in a single shot, not a video, not how I styled this. I want to see like a whole cohesive story told through photography. Doesn't have to be print. I'm fine with it being on Instagram, even though that has its own connotations. Like what?
Like I wish we never started making video content.
Yeah, but like another example of a photographer that I really like, and I'll show Michael now, is Gregory Crudson. I have my own experiences with him. He was head of the graduate photography department at Yale. And he was really critical. Gregory Crudson, I had my own experience with him at Yale. I think that he could be really harsh when somebody's photography didn't necessarily align with his definition of what photography should be, which I understand. He's the head of the program. And I've heard he could be very critical of experimental work. That being said, he makes really cool photos. He controls basically every element of a set. And the most that I've seen with him in the fashion industry was a set or a collection from Nanushka. Namacheco, excuse me, did a collection with his photographs. But I think it's disappointing. And I obviously don't know his side of the story. Maybe people have reached out and he just doesn't want to do it. I would love to see, again, more control given over to creatives and artists once the clothes have been made, rather than sort of skipping that step.
I would like to see Maurizio Catalan do a clothing campaign.
Ooh.
I have a book.
Yana, can we get a Maurizio Catalan a photo up here? Can we also get a Gregory Crudson back when I was talking about it, retroactively? Thank you so much, Yana. You're really the best. Yannick, also feel free to go and throw out like this is my Instagram at literally any point because we love you. Go plug your shit.
Maurizio Catalan does
hell yeah.
He does very like elaborate, kind of weird, a little bit gross.
Yeah. There's like, a woman for audio listeners. This woman sticking her tongue into an ashtray. I don't know.
You don't have to describe it. Go look up Maurizio Catalan pictures. Yep. He does really kind of.
It's like slightly surreal, hyper reality almost.
Yeah, it's like
that's great.
It's good. You remember that guy who did the fucking like Art Basel piece that was just a banana duct tape?
Yeah, banana wall. Yeah,
yeah.
I think Art Basel's the biggest shit
Maurizio
show.
Maurizio Catalan is the one who ate the banana.
Yo, great. Okay.
So Maurizio Catalan's cool. He can be a little
Ooh,
like
that's beautiful.
He can be a little like edgelordy sometimes.
Yeah.
What do you know? What do you expect? But he did. He actually did OK Cupid ads. Did you see
really?
The Subway ads that were like DTF, and F was something else. It was like.
No.
It was always like, you know, it was like OK Cupid, DTF, and then the F was like find new music or like some shit like that, you know. It was like, it was cute. But the pictures were all like weird.
Fight about the president.
Yeah, the pictures were all like weird. Foot the bill. Catalan,
filter out the far pictures. Right. What are the other ones? That's funny. I like that.
They were good. Yeah. But I think he would do sort of a really cool clothing campaign.
Yeah, I. Again, would also love to talk to somebody within like marketing. Maybe it's a cost thing. Maybe it's just not cost effective to do it. But yeah. I don't know. I yearn for like a.
It's probably not cost effective at all. And it's also like when it's someone who's really artsy, they're probably not. Like, I think doing a clothing campaign is probably kind of antithetical to Maurizio Catalan's whole thing.
I mean, if they gave him complete control, probably. And I think a big draw for an artist is saying, like, here's, you know, X amount of money, go freak it.
He's also the one who put a 24-karat gold toilet in the Guggenheim.
Oh, okay.
And it was called America or something.
Sick.
And you could use, it was just in one of the bathrooms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could, there was always a line. But you could go shit in it if you wanted
to. Are people still having sex in the Guggenheim bathrooms?
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Interesting.
They're like not great bathrooms either. They're really small.
This is not something I've heard of, but
really?
Yep.
As I understood it, that's like the museum bathroom to have sex in, is or the Guggenheim.
I didn't know there was one.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
Fake New Yorker, I guess.
Yeah.
News to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's
damn,
that's,
am I weird for knowing that?
I think you are.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. Let's wrap up. Song of the week.
I don't know. What have I been listening to?
Uh-oh. He's on the spot. Doesn't have his phone. Anyway, all of these songs and all of the songs recommended by guests this season, season 10 of the Pair of Kings podcast, can be found on a playlist called Pair of Kens. I still have to edit a photo for that on Spotify. It's got all those songs and more.
I'm going to keep it smooth for now. We're going to do Night Shift by Lucy Dacus.
Oh, why are you sad?
Because I fucking love that song. Sounds tight. That's song...
I got a bone to pick with Night Shift.
Ooh.
Every time I fucking go to karaoke, my sad friend put on Night Shift and make everybody sing it. I'm like, it's like 5 minutes, right? It's a long ass song.
7 minutes long.
And they're like, everybody's gonna love it. I'm like, I don't want to be sad. You know what I mean?
And you have to go through that really slow, like the last half of it rocks. Yep. But you have to sit there. Like, that's like doing Stairway to Heaven.
That's like doing Bohemian Rhapsody.
That is, honestly, Bohemian Rhapsody is more fun. Lucy, do not. Look, that's a great fucking song. Do not do Night Shift by Lucy Dacus at a fucking karaoke spot.
Yeah, listen. Knock that shit off.
Cut that shit out.
I don't care how fucking sad you are. You do a 3 minute Taylor Swift song. That's the most I'll give you. Not a 6 minute fucking heart wrenching. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be sad at karaoke. I'm sorry.
Don't do This Must Be the Place by Talking Heads if you're
sad.
Oh
my God. I'm sick of Darius Rucker. Fuck you. The coldest I'll get is Colder Weather by, what was that, Zach Brown Band?
I don't even know.
She said, I want to see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow it'll be better. Can I call you then? I won't make that my song, though. My song of the week is going to be... You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to stay... Or no. Oh, Wild Horses by the Rolling Stones. That's my shit. I love that song. There was a cover of it that was really good, and I can't find it anymore. And I don't remember who did it. It
doesn't exist, man.
Sadly not.
You have to let it go, man. The accident wasn't your fault.
The Wild Horses were not my fault. Dude, Oscar's been really cute this podcast.
Yeah, he's a cuddly boy.
Aki, Aki Way. Thank you so much. Let's take it down.
Anita McSween.
Okay. Let's take it down for the end of the podcast. Everybody, if you enjoy, maybe I won't do this while I'm asking doing the ad read. If you enjoyed what you listened to, go over to herohero.co/POK. You can subscribe for $4 a month. You get an extra episode. It's less than a cup of coffee. It's less than like half a cup of coffee in New York nowadays, unfortunately. Nice. But you can get an extra episode every month, early access to episodes and the videos for the podcast if you enjoy it. Again, that is herohero.co/POK. Your support really helps the podcast, and you can get me a fuck-ass haircut while you're there. Everybody, this has been the Pair of Kings podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, it's TikTok, and YouTube at Pair of Kings Pod. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and follow us on your favorite podcast streaming platform. I'm Saul Thompson. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. I'm joined this week by my wonderful co-host.
I am Michael Smith. You can find me on Instagram at _Smithstagram.
Together, we are the Pair of Kings podcast, where once a week, every week for the foreseeable future, we are bringing you business as usual, tomfoolery as planned. Hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody. It'd be Thursday for Hero Hero subscribers, but you know, I can't do both.
Have a great Tuesday, unless you really love us, in which case, have a great Thursday.
Yo, I'm going to go get a tissue. This has been the Pair of Kings podcast, everybody. I love you so much. Bye.